Going to speak tonight on how to treat what you let into your family, or how to treat what you bring into your family. It's a lot of different thoughts here. I hope I've never actually brought all these different ideas together in one lesson. I guess that happens a lot for most people that speak, but I feel a little uncomfortable about how this might come out. So I hope it makes sense. I'll just make sure not to look at my wife, because she will look at me like, what are you saying? You can cut that out of the video. Out of the. Tim, you got that cut out, right? Okay. All right. How to treat what you bring into your family, or how to treat what you let into your family. The Bible teaches us that we should be completely and thoroughly, what do you want to say, Christian, to use a generic term. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." And it goes on through there. This is a proof text, a text passage for understanding Christian education. I teach about Christian education every year in the college, and often I teach on it at our PTF meetings. This passage is foundational to why we believe in Christian education. It's a Christian school is a part of that, but what we would always try to say is that our homes are to be thoroughly Christian. I've talked about what is your home aroma. We've talked about how our home should be so Christian that you can't get away from it when you're in your home. But so I wanted to just bring together several different thoughts, and I hope that they will be a help. I'd rather it be less theory and philosophy and more jolt our minds and get us to think about certain things and then help us to go in a certain direction with what we talk about. When I say, how do you treat, or how should you, how to treat what you bring into your family or what you let into your family, I'll go ahead and try this. What comes to your mind? What are the things that you let or bring into your family? Mr. Ramis says books. I heard somebody else. I'm farther away than on Sunday. Music. People. Somebody said people. Okay. Yeah. You're a hog. Taking everyone else's, making it so no one else has to think. They don't want to think tonight. Somebody said music already. Entertainment. Philosophies. Yeah. Okay, so we got a lot of variety here. I just try to think through music. Where does music come from in our home? We bring music into our home. Some music we bring in on purpose. And other music just comes, doesn't it? It just comes. Okay? So the music that we bring into our home, we control that. It's only Patch the Pirate, or only Wild music, or only Fairhaven music, whatever it is. Or you might have a real wide variety of music, but you can control what you bring into your home, but other music comes into your home. While you're, for various reasons, whether it's something on a television or on the radio, there's music that comes into your home. Your home isn't just inside the four walls of your house. When you go to McDonald's or wherever it is that you like to go, music is coming into your home. When you shop at the grocery store, there's music at the grocery store. And I'm glad I don't know the song, but the other day I was in this store with my wife and I said, I hear that song every time I'm in this store. I don't remember it and I'm glad, but it's a stupid worldly song. And if I heard it again, I would say, that's that song. But see, music comes into our home. Some music comes in and some music we bring in. What about the radio? What about the radio? I'm not talking about music on the radio. Do you listen to the radio? Do your kids listen to the radio? Does the radio come on with the alarm clock? WBBM, News Radio 78, whatever. That information is coming into your home on the radio. Television shows. Okay, now I think a lot of the families in our church don't have a television in their home. But we have computer monitors. We have DVD players. We have holidays. And as a church, we've never said, thou shalt not watch something in a box. Okay? So, what do you watch? Is it safe if they're all old shows? I only watch old shows. The shows that were, anything produced before 1955 is okay. Okay? Or detective shows or sci-fi shows. I mean, sci-fi is weird these days, but Star Trek and Star Wars and whatever, sitcoms, and I don't know. I mean, there's everything, all kinds of different things there on television or in TV shows, and every one of our homes has something of those in them, I'm thinking. Maybe I'm not accurate, but I think I am accurate. Maybe not every day of the week, maybe not even once a month. But we bring stuff into our home, or we allow it to come into our home. Maybe it's never in our home, but on vacation, in the hotel room. Movies. So television shows, movies. We said books. Books that are in your home. The books come in your home. Magazines, things that you read. I don't know how many, with the everything being digital these days, how many people still subscribe to different types of magazines, but they're out there. They're still in the aisle when you're trying to check out, and hopefully you've not got those in your home. But Time Magazine, U.S. News and World Report, or whatever, these magazines, news and information. How do you get your news and information? Okay, maybe you don't get news and information, but if you do, you get it from somewhere. How should you treat that news and information? Sports. Now, some of you aren't involved in sports at all, but most of us are involved in sports to some level or another. We like it. We like to watch it. We follow who does it. We maybe play sports. We're involved in it ourselves. Maybe there's some of you that are in a fantasy league of some sort, and some of you could laugh at that, but some of you probably are involved in it too. You're talking to each other. Who'd you get on your team or whatever? So-and-so's injured. Can't be on my fantasy team anymore. It's crazy. I mean, but you hear advertisements for it. People lose a lot of money in those things. But sports. Sports, we allow sports into our home. Advertisements. You're driving down the road, you see a billboard. That billboard is influencing your home. Your kids are in the car with you, it's influencing your home. It's influencing you one way or another. How should we treat the things, the advertisements, whether it's a catalog, Used to be you could order things from a catalog. Now we just browse. We search and then click the advertisements on the side. But catalogs, what kind of catalogs do you allow in your home? That says something about you. How do you treat those things? Radio advertisements, TV advertisements, billboard advertisements, whatever. How about the art and pictures? You say, I'm not an art person. Do you have pictures on your wall? Even if you say, I don't have pictures on my wall. the art and pictures, or the lack thereof, says something. There's a reason for those things. And we should, and so how do we treat those things? Vacation activities. What is it that you look forward to? Kids, this is what we're going to do. Or, honey, this is what we're going to do. What about that? Restaurants that you choose to go to. Really? Let's just be blunt about it. I mean, will you take your kids to the Hard Rock Cafe? They got really good food there. It's just about the food, isn't it? Obviously not, right? Or hopefully, obviously not. I'm not going to take my kids to the Hard Rock. I'm not going to go to the Hard Rock Cafe myself. Okay, so if that's not right, where do all the other restaurants in the spectrum fit? Is that the only one that's wrong? Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? A restaurant is not just about food. You take your kids, you go to a restaurant, it's influencing you. How do we treat that type of activity? Social networks, social life, games, whether they're hands-on games or electronic games. Okay? John Hall Jr. What is it? Yes, Settlers of Catan. I'm preaching against this. No, I'm not really. Okay? I don't even know anything about it. But how do Settlers of Catan, is that a good game or a bad game? So everybody who's played with John thinks it's a bad game because they don't. It's got a bad influence on John. But again, you say, well, you mean, why are you getting up here? You're talking about games. Well, what about some games? You know, we could just get a deck of cards out. Should we play with a deck of cards? Any cards? The ones with, you know, king and queens and jacks and aces and whatever else they have on those things, spades and what about a Ouija board? That's a nice form of entertainment, isn't it? No. Okay. So if you understand, we can take these extremes and say, well, yeah, that's bad, but not everything else is okay. All of these things will influence you one way or another. So these are all the, and I'm not saying those are all the things, but I wanted to give us, open our mind up and say, okay, so there's a lot of things. There's a ton of things that come into our home, whether that's come into the four walls of our house, or they are the people in our home have contact with these things, and we have to treat those things in certain ways. We have to think about those things in certain ways. So, those are some of the things that, that's a lot of them, but some of the things that we're talking about when we're saying, how should we treat what we let or bring or comes into our family? Now, all those things are areas, but let's think about this then. How do those things influence the way that we think? Okay, now I'm saying we ought to think about them a certain way, but the reason I'm going to say that we ought to think about them a certain way is because those things want us to think a certain way, don't they? Some more than others, but everything out there has a point of view behind it. And if you think along with that point of view, you're going to do better with whatever that thing is. What points of view are there? There's a worldly point of view, and that's kind of generic. But when we say worldly, we're saying the theme of this world. How does the world operate? How does the world think things happen and work? Okay? The world wants us to think like it. The world wants everyone in the world to think like it thinks. Not everybody does. And even people that are not Christians don't all think the way we would generally think of the arc of the world's thoughts. But worldliness, materialism. Some people are very materialistic. All they think about is stuff. Right? Okay. Are you that way? Is this thing, this advertisement, is it trying to get you to be materialistic? Um, I learned a new term recently. It's called economic determinism. But economic determinism basically says it, the whole world functions just because of money. If you fix the money, everything else works. That's basically how most people in political landscape think. If we can just fix this, then this will take care of it. If we handle the money this way, then this will happen and everything will be right. And somebody else says, no, we should handle the money this way, and then we'll accomplish. Anyway, economic determinism. Is that how you think? You think, well, if we just fix this, if we just lower taxes, everything would be better. I'm not saying that we wouldn't say, well, I would like it if my taxes were lowered, but thinking that lowering the taxes is going to fix the problem is a different thought pattern. Vulgarity, vulgar. Some people are just vulgar, aren't they? Sexuality. Some people advertisers know that sensuality sells products. They'll sell a hamburger with a bikini-clad lady. You know, what does that have to do with a hamburger? Nothing. But they'll do it. Okay? Why? Because they're trying to influence it. That is trying to influence you. Ungodliness. Or maybe we should say godlessness. You know, our world is created by God. And He created it so that it works when you recognize that He's sovereign, that He rules the world and all that. But the whole world, generally speaking, wants to live as if God doesn't exist. It's a huge lie. So almost everything that you're going to see has a godless viewpoint. Almost everything that your home is going to be bumped up against has a godless viewpoint. And godless, it is wicked, but I don't mean that it's this abrasive. It's just without God. There's very successful people, and they've done it without God. Okay? We might say successful from a certain viewpoint. There's some very rich people, and they've done it without God. And they can tell you how you can do it without God. Okay? And it might not be money, whatever it is. There's everything around us is trying to influence us a certain way. And one of the ways it tries to influence us is to think that we can live without God. When we get up and we skip our devotions, when we go through a day without thinking about God, we just do this. Oh, I don't, we would never say that, would we? I don't need God for that decision. But when we make decisions without God, that's a godless decision. We don't like to say it that way, do we? But that's what it is. And the world is filled with godless thinking. Life independent of God. Humanism, it's related. Basically says man can do it. Man has the answers. We can fix this. Technology is all about this. Human, we can cure cancer with technology that we have invented or developed. There we go. There's our technology. When I don't think it's been as successful as they thought, but when Apple released their Apple Watch. This is not an Apple Watch. When they released their Apple Watch, it's got sensors in it. The guy said, whoever, Tim Cook, said, with enough people wearing this, we will have enough information about people, we will cure diseases. Their trust is in technology, in man. And whatever it is, it doesn't have to be technology. Man is the answer. And if we're getting into philosophy, there's two different, there's man by himself and there's man in society. So man in society is government. Now I listen to the radio one of the times I listen to the radio the most is every other Sunday night between 11 and 1 o'clock at night. You men will know what I'm talking about there. So here comes on the radio this, you have friends. How many of you heard this? You have friends in government. You know, pretty soon you're filling out this, and pretty soon you find out this. And there's this app that has all, government has the answers for everything. Did you know that government has the answers for everything? That's a way of thinking. That's a way of thinking. It's a way of looking at the world. There's people in here that think, oh, I need something. The government can get it for me. The government needs to change something so that I can get it. And there's a lot more people outside of here that think that way. The government is the answers to stuff. Covetousness is a way of thinking. The bandwagon. Everybody's doing it. Okay? You should get our cell phone plan because everybody's doing it. Look at this huge crowd of people behind me that is using this cell phone or whatever. That's a way of thinking. Don't your kids ever say, but so-and-so is doing it. Everybody's doing it. We've heard that. That's a viewpoint, isn't it? Anxiety and fear is a way, it's a viewpoint. The world wants, the powers that be want the world to be afraid. If you're full of anxiety, there's a good chance you're watching the news. Because the news doesn't matter, newscasters do not care what's happening in the world. All they want to do is find something that will ratchet the fear and keep you watching. And as soon as they finish telling you that, they'll say, now this. And they come to some other thing that's totally unrelated. And my wife was out with taking care of her mom for a couple days. She was watching the local news. The local news is Des Moines. She said, the local news had a story about a fire in a house in California. Where, I don't know, a dog or something was stuck inside the house and the fireman saved the dog's life and gave it CPR. It's the human interest story, but that's the Des Moines News talking about California. Why are they talking about California? Because they want you to watch their news, because they want to sell advertising. It doesn't matter. They don't care about what's really happening. They don't care about what you really would be good for you to know about. They just want your... to watch. And one of the easiest ways to get you to watch is keep you afraid. The weather. It's going to be awful. Stick around at the bottom of the hour when we'll tell you that it's going to be awful. There's a warning. Amusement. Amusement is not thinking. Thoughtlessness. We said ungodliness is godlessness, thoughtless mindlessness. The influences on our home and on our family, they would rather us not think about things. They would rather us just go with the flow. Just go with what everything else is going on. Just listen and believe what they tell you to believe rather than think something through. Mindlessness, violence, okay? Violence, where this is a wide variety of things that try to influence the way we think, but we have violence around us, and you have games that are violent, you have news that's violent, you have activities that's violent. I'm not opposed to violence in a certain sense. You know, sometimes we have to be violent. Because it's a wicked, evil world, and it takes some violence to protect yourself and defend yourself against that. But is life just, is it just the most powerful live? Certain people think the most powerful live, and you just do whatever it takes, whether it's violence or not. It's just, if I'm stronger, I get my way. That's the way life works. That's a way of thinking. For that matter, there's a... conservative way of thinking. There's certain elements that want you to think a certain way. There's how should we think? All those things are trying to influence us to think a certain way. And well, before we go there, the way we think or the way we look at things is called I've called it a viewpoint, a way of looking at things. It's called a worldview. Okay? And a worldview is like if you put glasses on. If you can't see and you put your glasses on, all of a sudden everything's clear. If you can see just fine and you put welder's helmet on, all of a sudden everything's dark, right? If you you've heard people talk about the rose-colored glasses, you know, you put the rose-colored glasses on and everything has a rosy tint to it. It changes the way you see. Does the world change? Do the facts change out there? No. The way you look at them changes. Okay? So how should we look at things? Well, it's obvious. Hopefully it's obvious. We're Christians, right? So we should have a Christian worldview. I would like to take it a step further, though, and more than a Christian worldview, because Christian has been, the term Christian has been kind of used from a lot of different viewpoints even through history. When we were on a trip to Israel, our bus driver, he's a Christian. He said, well, what kind of Christian are you? He said, the only kind. You know what the only kind is, right? A Roman Catholic Christian. Well, I would say he's not a Christian at all. Okay, so let's take, beside being Christian or beyond being Christian, let's think about having a biblical worldview. Okay, when everything comes into our home, and this is the point I want to get to, we should say, not what does my church think about that? What does Fairhaven think about that? What does Pastor Vogelin or Pastor Dameron or Pastor Armacost or Pastor Parrish, what do they think about it? What does the Bible say about that? That's the way we should treat everything that comes into our home. What does the Bible say about that? Now, I'm not thinking that everyone's going to, you know, every other second you're going to be saying, what does the Bible say about that? But I think we need encouragement along these lines. How is it that we decide what comes to our house and we respond to these things? There's probably four positions that people take. One is that they say they just don't care or they haven't thought about it. And if everything comes in and goes and things happen and they just allow anything to come into their home and anything to happen because they figure, well, that's just the way things are. I would say that's permissive. They allow anything to come into their home. Of course, everybody has a boundary somewhere. But somebody who doesn't think about this at all, or much at all, is basically very permissive with what they allow to happen in their home. Some people will be very exclusive. Well, try. They're saying, well, I'm a Christian, so nothing is going to come. I'm going to put bags over my kids' heads when they walk through the store. They're going to be in one line. I'm going to speak a command, and they're all going to look to the left, or they're all going to look to the right. Okay, you laugh. I've heard of families like that, and I've seen it. Okay, but that may sound extreme. You might say, remember I said you're only Fairhaven music in my home, or only Patch the Pirate, or whatever. You might say, well, my kids aren't going to get in trouble with music. All we're going to have in our home is this. Everything else is not allowed in our home, or, you know, whatever. Whether it's any of those areas that we talked about, music, radio, television, movies, books, news, sports, advertisement, art, vacations, restaurants, games, all of that. Just nothing that is evil, nothing that is wicked will be in our home. Well, that's not really possible. It's not really possible. There's some bad stories that talk about some bad stuff, and it's right in this book right here. I mean, remember the story of David and Bathsheba? Kind of bad. Remember the story of the Levite in Judges? There's all kinds of bad stuff happening in this right here. So you're not gonna cut out all the bad from your home. Okay. So saying, well, I just don't care. That's not a very good position. I'm not going to let anything bad into my home. That's an impossible position. I think most of us, and I don't mean this in the wrong way, and I'm saying us, because I think as much as I can talk about what's the right way to do it, I think sometimes I end up being more pragmatic than being principled. Okay, we ought to be principled. But sometimes we're just more pragmatic. We say, well, I don't want all that junk in my home. But I know I can't just say nothing can come in the home. I'm going to let some stuff in and I'm not going to let other stuff in. If you are the rule of what is allowed in your home and what's not allowed in your home, you're being pragmatic. Okay? I'm not saying that you enforce it, but if you are the rule, it just comes down to being you. And this is where this is very important for you and your children. If you are the rule for what's right and wrong in your home, even if you make good decisions all the time, who will be the rule when you're not the rule? Your children. If you say, that's allowed, that's not allowed. Why? Because I said. Now, there's a certain point when because I said is exactly the right answer. But when we're dealing with these things on a thorough basis, across the board, across the lifetime of the kids in your home, you can't be the authority. The Bible has to be the authority. See, so if it's like, I think most of us are like, nope, yep, nope. Why? Well, because I know what I believe. I know what's right. I know what I'm going to let in my home. I know what I'm not going to let in my home. Or I'm going to follow what Pastor Vogelin says, or I'm going to follow what Pastor Dammer says, and you ought to follow our leadership and our teaching. But we're not teaching you to do this and not do that. We're trying to teach you the Word of God. Okay? So what if you are doing something and the reason is coming from you, that's better than the first two, but it's not best. Best is to be principled. Best is to say, what does the Bible say about that? Now, I will just tell you quickly that when we look at, now, some of the things that we said here are not in the Bible, but generally, all of these areas where there's possibilities of wickedness, evil, things that we wouldn't like brushing against our family, there's things in the Bible that is not right, that's not good. How does the Bible gives us an example of how it describes those things. And there's three things that people for a long time have pointed out and recognized in the Bible's accounts of these things. One is that the Bible is never excessive or too detailed. The Bible tells us that David committed adultery with Bathsheba. It says he saw her from the roof. But that's as far as it goes. Okay? A lot of novels could fill in a lot of bad details there. The Bible doesn't go there. So if you're wondering, how detailed? Follow the Bible's example. You know, you can know about bad things happening. You just don't have to know all the gruesome details. The Bible tells us that David killed people. And he cut off his head. When I was in school, there was boys, they just loved to read. There was like Vietnam War stories. And they'd be reading stuff, and it's just like body parts and descriptions of body parts going all over the place. That's excessive. Okay? The Bible doesn't go into that kind of detail. The Bible is not purposeless. The Bible's not purposeless. It doesn't just throw stuff in there to keep your attention. The Bible doesn't throw stuff in there to change the ratings. That way they can get more box office sales. Okay? There's a reason for when it says something. And the Bible always deals in true reality. Okay? Evil is punished. Okay? Somebody does something wrong, they don't get away with it. The wrong way of thinking is pointed out. So when we're when we have a principled approach to the things that come into our home, we ought to be thinking, what does the Bible say about that? We won't always get a verse that tells us what the Bible says about it. But we can use these examples when the Bible tells stories, when the Bible gives accounts of things. It uses these kind of what we might say guidelines for that. But we need to be thinking about, I mean, the news. The news says this. What does the Bible say about that? Okay. What does the Bible say about it? The government says this. What does the Bible say about that? This old-time movie. Oh, it's a great old movie. What does the Bible say about that? You know, you'll be surprised. I watch old-time movies. I watch shows. But it's interesting when you don't just sit there and look at it, when you're thinking, what does the Bible say about this? It really helps. Okay? And I think we need this in our homes. The little contact I have with kids, I hear them talking about, you know, just things they see. You know, machine guns going, things blowing up. There's nothing wrong. Boys are going to love that kind of thing. Okay? But sometimes that's all you hear. You never hear a comment like, yeah, but something that's thoughtful about it. And maybe they're just too young to actually think about it. Or maybe they've never heard anything thoughtful about it. Okay, I'm saying we shouldn't just sit down and say, well, it's family night, we're just going to watch a movie. And so then the world takes over and then indoctrinate our children for 2 hours. And we get done, it's like, oh, that was fun. Let's go to bed. There's no debriefing. There's no, like, what happened here? At the same time, I'm not saying we've got to say, okay, get your desks out. Let's take some notes. Okay? But somewhere between there, what does the Bible say about that? What's the theme of that movie? Why do we like that movie and we don't like this other movie? That seems like a good movie. It's good, but you notice it never said this. It's good. It's saying almost everything good, but it's doing it all without God. Our kids need to know. We need to notice that. And our kids need to notice that. Deuteronomy says that we should teach the law of the Lord. We should love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and our might. And God's words should be in our heart, and we should teach them diligently unto our children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Your house is to be permeated, dominated, completely influenced by the Word of God. You should be looking, when you're going by the way, you're looking at the things you see along the way through the lens of God's Word. When you get up in the morning, you start the day looking at the day through the lens of God's Word. The New Testament tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, says, I'm sorry, I think it's 6. Not 10:5. I think it's 2 Corinthians 10:5. Yep. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that we're to be casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. And those are the bad things, but then it's not just those things, but we're to be bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Every thought that restaurant wants you to think, every thought that game wants you to think, every thought that vacation activity wants you to think about, every thought that a certain picture or art in your home wants you to think about, every thought that the advertisements want you to think about, every thought that the sports figures want you to think about, every thought that the news and information wants you to think about, the books and magazine, anything, everything that comes into your home, everything that your home brushes against, every thought, is to be brought into captivity of Jesus Christ. So when in our homes, we should be thinking, what does the Bible say about that? How can we know what Jesus is? The Logos, He's the Word, and this is the written Word. What does the Bible say about it? What does Jesus bring every thought captive to Christ is saying? What does the Bible say about it? And we ought to try, we ought to work at bringing that question up in our own mind and in our own heart and then in our homes frequently. It may have never come up in your home. Try once a month. Try once a month. Do it with an activity that you plan ahead of time so you know the answer. And then try it more often. Supper time is a great time to do this. The kids are mostly in a Christian school, or they're getting good Christian teaching through whatever materials they got. Ask them what they learned. You probably aren't going to have to fight with their teacher about what they learned. But it's a good way to get them to think, well, what does the Bible say about that? Maybe their teacher even taught them what the Bible says about it. That's an easy place to start. But we shouldn't think that, well, because they answered the question right once, our home is great. We have to develop our own set of lenses, and we need to develop those glasses for our children that they see the world and everything in the world through the Bible's eyes.